Marilyn Dennis and Jamar. Wake up. I love this show.
Chum 104.5.
Coffee is such a part of this routine that it's just like, I don't know, it's like our mate. Coffee is our mate.
I'm just making a pot of coffee, getting on with my day.
Yes, sir. That's how it works here. But there are certain interesting stats around coffee drinking that I think you're going to really like to hear, especially because you wake up early and you start off your day with coffee just like us. Especially also if you are tired of hearing people say espresso.
Mm-hmm.
Check this out. The average coffee drinker has about 2 coffee cups a day, starting the first sip at 7:35 in the morning.
With the exception of all of us, we start earlier than that. But yeah,
yes.
we get our Starbucks delivery at like 5:30.
Yes, we do.
We're the anomaly.
On the dot.
We wish they would open at 5.
Yeah, I know.
They don't,
really,
but we're working with their schedule.
Okay. 42% of people say they don't really need the coffee in the
morning. Baloney, you
don't.
Yeah,
they're out of their minds.
Come on.
They wake up fine without it, but it's more about the taste and routine for them.
Have you ever weaned yourself off of coffee?
I'll tell you what I do. I don't drink it on the weekend because I know I'm dependent on it from a chemical standpoint because, like, if I don't drink it during the show, the show suffers. For me, my part of the show, in my opinion. So, I drink it to keep things up at a level.
Do you have iced tea during the weekends?
No.
Do you have any kind of tea during the weekend?
No. Nothing caffeinated.
So, you don't get any headaches or anything from not having caffeine?
No, not during the weekend.
Good for you.
It's weird, right?
It's very weird because I need it.
You get the headaches and stuff?
Sure.
I get crazy headaches if I don't have coffee. Yeah. It's like even if I'm on a cleanse where they say, you should really try to, reduce caffeine. No, I'm still having black coffee. Guaranteed.
So, on the weekend, you're drinking coffee in the morning?
Oh, my gosh. And I look forward to it. It's like a little treat. It feels like one of the main reasons I get out of bed. That's depressing to say out loud.
I won't say the name of the brand. I hear you. It's what gets you going in the morning. Gets you up. When my husband brings me coffee in bed, things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Oh.
Okay.
Hello.
Slip us a note.
when I was a spokesperson for another coffee company,
that's
right.
They had in my contract that I had to know how to sip and savor.
Sip and savor.
I showed them how to sip and savor. I showed all the management of this coffee company, good morning. And they went, wow, you do that really well. I go, thank you.
And then it looks like you perfected it.
I am a professional sip and savor.
Okay.
So just to let you know.
I'm looking at coffee in a whole different light now. Wait a second, because on the weekends, I get angry when I see people drinking coffee. I'm like, don't drink that stuff on the weekend. It's the weekend. You're supposed to be chilling.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, maybe I will look at that differently. Check this out now. Now, we talked about espresso earlier. It is, without a doubt, espresso. There are a couple people, more than a couple, actually.
A couple?
A lot of people who say espresso. Stop it. Please. It is espresso. And it is nothing more than just a quirky thing that people do. They add that X in there.
So a little shameful fact about me is that I have an addiction to the reality television series Below Deck.
Okay. Yes.
And on it, it's these people who rent super yachts, and they fancy themselves very fancy. They always think that they're the best people ever, and they order the crew around. You know what they do, all these fancy people? They order espresso martinis.
No.
You're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to rent a yacht, and you're being terrible to people, and then you're asking for an espresso martini.
All of our Italian friends are cringing right now.
Well, I'm telling you right now, according to the survey, more than 50% of people are judging you every time you say the word espresso. They're looking at you like,
That's me.
I guess you don't know.
Okay. Do you remember the first time you had coffee in the first place?
The first cup I ever had? Not really, to be honest with you. Yeah. Coffee has like always been around, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
it was sometime when I was late in high school, but I don't remember exactly when.
Yeah. I think I had it when I started in radio.
Oh.
That, I think when I officially, they'd make that pot of coffee and you'd drink it burnt, cold, whatever, just get it in your blood system.
How far would you drive to get coffee? If you had like your favorite cup, how far would you go to get that?
Jamar, I would get off the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Pay the dues. Pay the fine. Get the coffee. I have it on my thing. Where's the closest Starbucks?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. I know where it is. Erie, PA on Peach Street. Just letting you know if you're on the highway.
The average person would drive 2 miles. You can kilometer change that if you need.
Oh, yeah. I can see that happening.
To get their favorite coffee.
Right. Yeah. Because nothing like buying some coffee and say, meh. Anyway.
Yeah.
Someone texted in and said, I went for a job interview at Nespresso, and a woman kept calling it Nexpresso.
No!
Stop it.
Stop. Okay. You can get back in the coffee club with us once you change your pronunciation. For now, you are banished. Stay over there. Let me tell you something. You know why I don't get into social media fights with people? I purposely don't do this. Because I don't think anyone's mind is ever changed on social media. Like, I don't think anything I tweet or Instagram, like, politically or views-wise, is ever going to change someone's mind. It's just like me beating my chest about, oh, these are my beliefs, listen to me. And people will either agree or disagree, right?
Mm, yeah.
But there are a lot of people, it's very popular right now to go on social media and do that, to, yeah, like, state your beliefs, state how you feel on a subject, and just watch people rally around you or just engage you in an argument. In my opinion, it never works.
Well, the thing that goes missing on all that written word is the tone. And so, you know, and that's why I kind of go, and I don't engage in that at all. That's just not what I do. I will have it at the dinner table. I will have it with amongst friends, but I don't do it on a public basis because the tone is missing.
Right.
And I feel that, you know, no matter what you do, becomes, as somebody said to me a long time ago, the kid's up yet? Becomes a pissing match.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. And I have no stomach for that.
No.
Now, if you want to truly change someone's mind about something, there is something we stumbled across that you can use. You can maybe use it on social media or maybe even in your personal conversations. But there's a philosopher, a guy named Blaise Pascal. You might remember him from math class if you remember like probabilities and stuff. French dude. And he talked about this 350-year-old trick that you can use to actually get someone to change their mind about how they feel about something. And this is what you do. You basically want to make someone feel like they're smart and you want to kind of make their ego feel good. So what you do is you kind of butter up the person by telling them how you agree, the parts of their argument that you agree with.
Because you might agree with some of the parts of the argument.
And that's the first thing you have to do when you engage the person.
Because it shows that you're listening.
Yes, and it makes them feel like, hey, I am right about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you start off by telling them, okay, yeah, well, you know what, I agree with that. You're kind of right there. I see what you mean by that, and then you move on and hit them with the, these are my points.
Mm-hmm.
And they said from a psychological standpoint, it makes someone feel less bad about themselves, because usually when you just hit somebody with what you feel in opposition to their point, it makes them feel more like, okay, well, at least they understand me.
Yeah,
and I think
they heard me. See, to be heard to me,
yes,
to be heard is the most important thing. You don't have to agree all the time. You know some people that just have to win. It's about winning. And that's not what this is about. Mm. You know, nobody learned this more than when I was a teenager. My parents did not listen to me at all. And I thought, you know, what am I going to do when I raise this kid down the hall? And what I really tried to do, even though he wasn't listening to me because he was making a point, I'm thinking, there's got to be parts of this where I kind of get this.
Right.
That I'm on the, yeah, because you have to feel and show other people, and you have to do it yourself, that you're listening. That you're hearing them.
Do you think we can all do this? I mean, it's try. They say statistically.
Yeah.
If you focus on how somebody in their argument, how they're right, if you focus on that, you have a statistical better chance of changing their mind to what you believe if you focus on how their points are correct or the points that you may agree with first.
As Dr. Phil would say, how's that working for you? If something's not working, if you're saying over and over again that someone is not, is wrong, it's not working for you. So that's one of those big, basic things in life.
And even if they concede, if you just told them over and over again how they're wrong and they wind up conceding, they usually don't believe it in their heart anyways. They just want to end the argument. My grandfather had a great old school saying that he used to say to all of us, which is, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And it's true.
Yeah.
Convince somebody against their will and they might pretend to your face, okay, just to get this over with.
Yes.
Move on.
Yes.
But really, you haven't convinced them at all. They're just done dealing with
you. That's right.
I think that's a very, very good point.
Yeah.
And it's a very big symptom of today. Okay, adults, put the kids to bed for a second. We're going to have an adult conversation for a little bit. You know, a lot of people are texting and they're going, how could you say sex is not the greatest thing ever anymore? I don't think that's what's going on. I think you get to an age, you know, in your 20s, you know, sex is great. You just want it all the time, all the place, from everyone. And then you just get so bogged down by adulthood.
Yes.
That certain things become more of a simple pleasure than the task of trying to just get it on. And I get it. So that's why that hashtag better than sex started trending yesterday. And the answers were hilarious.
Hilarious.
Your answers are even better. Texter says, better than sex, tiramisu. The Italian dessert, of course. It's very, very tasty.
Two people on the keto diet wrote in and said fries and chips and chocolate and chips.
Love chocolate. Love chips. Can't believe that those made it to being better than sex, but there it is. Better than sex. Lying on a sun-soaked Caribbean beach and forgetting about your home life. I'd have to agree with you.
I still say one of my favorites is just having a night in on your own.
Yeah.
Like having so many people going, yeah, having a night in on your own. Everyone's out. All the kids are out. Your better half's out. You can watch the TV, do whatever you want to do.
It's crazy. You know, once you have other priorities in your life, you know how many times I have the opportunity to, do, and I get in bed and I'm just like, I'm literally going to sleep right now. Because that's the only thing I need. That's what I do.
There you go.
Sleep better than sex.
We have two people who said spa days and massage.
Ah, yeah.
Wow.
That sounds good.
Someone says funnel cake is better than sex. You must miss the X. That's gone now. And for the last one that I'll read, which I'm completely flattered by, someone said better than sex, Chum 104.5.
Yay!
They must have an HD radio.
I don't believe you, but thank you. I don't believe you, but thank you for listening.
Do you also think this is all people who are like over the age of probably 35 who are texting in? Because like the newness has worn off. Like when you're a teenager, your priorities are probably a little different.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, that's awesome.
Like you said, in their 20s, right?
Then you hit 35 and you're like, I'm just going to watch another episode of Succession.
Listen, enjoy your 20s, everybody. And you want time alone.
That's great. All right. Better than sex. Keep texting 104.536. That was the much younger and a little more immature Taylor Swift.
She sounds so innocent and sweet, and little do we know that she has a driving force, and she is a force to be reckoned.
Uh-huh.
I love her.
Uh-huh.
And she's really ticked off right now, but we'll get into that another time.
Now we get into the mature conversation.
Yes.
And we will make it very mature.
Yeah.
Better than sex is the hashtag. I got to let you guys know, sex is great. It really is good. But Haagen-Dazs has this chocolate peanut butter ice cream. Just go with me for a second. It's this rich chocolate with this like peanut butter, like gooey peanut butter, like wedged in between the chocolate. Mm-hmm. It dances on your tongue. It's a flavorgasm. That's all I'm saying. That stuff's good.
Hashtag better than sex.
Okay, we'll continue. Someone says better than sex, winning the lottery. I can't speak on it. Never won.
Yeah. Some of you are being so earnest and lovely and wonderful, and we appreciate that, but we want funny. We love you all, though. We really appreciate that.
A lot of people will write things like online saying, sure, sex is great, but, and then they finish the sentence. So somebody was writing and said, sure, sex is great, but have you ever merged right while another car was merging left? And you both make eye contact and just glide past each other into the same lane.
It's so satisfying.
Funny.
It really is. That seamless merge into traffic, of course. Better than sex, having the bed to yourself. If you've ever been in bed with a kicker, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Continue that and look forward to at 11 o'clock. Better than just a regular party? Toronto's biggest house party. We have a golden ticket for you again at 11 o'clock with Richie Favolera, where you can win, kind of like the lottery, $100,000. Now, if you get the money and go home and do-da-do, you're a double winner that night, right?
Do it. Yeah. What's trending in Toronto with Caitlin Green? Brought to you by the Plastic Surgery Clinic. Let me know.
The hashtag Trump impeachment is trending because yesterday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced a formal impeachment inquiry of President Trump.
This week, the president has admitted to asking the president of Ukraine to take actions which would benefit him politically. The actions of the Trump presidency revealed the dishonorable fact of the president's betrayal of his oath of office, betrayal of our national security, and betrayal of the integrity of our elections. Therefore, today, I'm announcing the House of Representatives moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry. The president must be held accountable. No one is above the law.
So to try to give you a little concise backstory on what they're investigating, it's alleged that in a phone call to the president of the Ukraine, Trump threatened to withhold military aid unless the president of the Ukraine investigated the business dealings of Joe Biden's son Hunter within the country. So Trump says that he held up the aid amid concerns about corruption. He wasn't trying to create an arrangement that would target Biden and his presidential campaign specifically. But a whistleblower complaint comes in about this call, and Democrats allege that Trump may have committed a crime by withholding that complaint. So by starting this whole inquiry process, the door's open, they can build a case. But will he actually wind up being accountable for anything? That's what everyone's wondering today. And honestly, if you're listening to the story and feeling a little bit jaded about will this matter, I don't blame you.
It's going to take a long time.
It's very
really
complex.
Long. It's very complex.
Yeah.
Just going back in time with Nixon, and finally the Republicans went up to him and said, you got to go.
Yeah.
That's where he went. Okay. With Clinton, it was like the Congress said yes and the Senate said no. Mm. And then 2 years later, Bush got in. So, you know, it plays out in different ways. We just don't know.
I can't wait to read this transcript. Mm. I do wonder if it's going to be stapled next to his tax returns, though.
I have saw many.
Good point.
I've seen many tweets pointing out that this is the same person who posed with a edited photo of a weather map of Alabama, edited with a Sharpie.
Right.
So don't hold your breath on those transcripts.
You got it.
Now, if political unrest doesn't undo the fabric of our society, scientists are worried that an asteroid could. So like in the movie Armageddon, space agencies want to crash a spacecraft into an asteroid. That's right.
Don't close your eyes, especially when you're driving that thing.
It's just a good movie.
It was a good movie.
I liked it.
Was it really?
I mean, it's probably a bad movie, but it's still interesting.
I was like 14, and I just remember. 14.
I'll let you. I'll get you off the hook on that one.
Okay.
It was horrible.
Okay. Well, I was entertained.
Well, hopefully the real life version will be.
Shame on Steve Buscemi.
Will be better. Okay, fine. You're right. He did try to mess things up for them. So scientists are working with space agencies to figure out a way to crash this spacecraft into an asteroid. The whole point of this is to see, would this be enough of an impact to protect the Earth from being hit by an asteroid? So NASA has partnered with the European Space Agency. They're calling it their double asteroid redirection test, or DART. So they're going to use this DART spacecraft. It's going to hit an asteroid at a speed of over 22,000 kilometers per hour to try to decide, you know, is this collision enough to make a difference if we're ever in the path of an asteroid.
Have you ever played darts at a bar?
Sure.
Kind of like that.
It's kind of like that. And do you see how many holes are around?
Right.
The wood paneling? Yeah. Not on the actual.
Yes.
Right, because no one can miss. No one can,
Don't miss this one. Don't miss this one.
Marilyn, when they announced that they were calling this DART, like the acronym would be DART, the Double Asteroid Redirection Test, I honestly wondered if they did that to help the average person with a small brain visualize a dart being thrown at a dartboard.
Well, maybe you're right.
Hey, do you know if they're going to be streaming it on Netflix or Hulu? Because we can't get Hulu in Canada.
No, it'll be on Twitter, guys.
Come on, okay. Twitter.
All right, great. I want to
see it. Thank you, Caitlin.
Anymore. Marilyn Dennis and Jamar. Oh, wake up. I love this show.
Chum 104.5.